most around this planet, that is the physical limits that we simply have to observe. So go to 350.org, help us out. It's going to be a great thing.
Great. Bill, thank you so much for joining us today. And Bill's new book, Deep Economies, is available in bookstores. You can learn more about his campaign by visiting 350.org.
And thank you very much, Joanna Defoe, for sponsoring that interview. Technical production today was by Adam Chung. Web hosting and bandwidth for our podcast was provided by the web consulting firm, rjgcreative.com. You can get an audio copy of today's program or a transcript of our news headlines at greenmajority.ca. Today we featured Rob Goldston from the Princeton Plasma Physics Laboratory on fusion energy, as well as Bill McKibben, influential American author and environmentalist. You've been listening to The Green Majority, Canada's first and only all-environmental news hour. The program is produced live every Friday and is available on campus and community stations from coast to coast. I'm Jordan Poffink, and that's it for today's live edition. Until next week, thanks for listening.
CIUT, in cooperation with Music Africa, goes live from AfroFest 2009, Saturday, July 11th and Sunday, July 12th at Queen's Park, Toronto. Join us on site or listen each day from 3 to 11 p.m. as the wide and diverse sounds of the African continent permeate the city of Toronto. AfroFest 2009, a multi-focus community event of song, dance, theater, food, a marketplace, and activities for youth and children, featuring traditional and contemporary styles of music by top international touring acts and dozens of African performing groups from across Canada, including Ethiopian vocalist Kemmer Youssef, Achilla Aru from Uganda, from South Africa, Lorraine Clausen, Balu David from Angola, and Malian superstar Omo Sangare, plus many more. AfroFest 2009, Saturday, July 11th and Sunday, July 12th, a free two-day event taking place at Queen's Park, Toronto. Join us there or listen live each day from 3 to 11 p.m. only on CIUT 89.5 FM.
Are you concerned about the impact your car is making on the environment? Do you want an alternative to public transit or riding your bicycle? Check out Mobility Unlimited for the most competitive prices in electric bikes. E-bikes are your solution to reducing your carbon footprint while maintaining mobility. E-bikes can be a faster and cheaper urban transportation alternative, and no license or insurance is required to operate one. Go to www.mobilityunlimited.ca today or call 416-778-9586 or toll free at 1-877-778-9586 to find out more about these clean, green machines.
CIUT broadcasts live from the second annual Craft Beer Festival and Summer Barbecue Thursday, July 30th at Hart House in the Quad. Featuring 17 of the finest beers that Ontario craft brewers have to offer, Niagara Specialty Meats offering savory barbecue morsels, and live performances by Everything All the Time, DJ Grahamzilla from Thunderheist, and Bonjay's Alana Stewart. Tickets available at uftix.ca. Be sure to get the early bird special before July 17th. For more info, go to www.harthouse.ca/craft.
This is CIUT 89.5 FM, the University of Toronto community radio station. Available across Canada on Star Choice National Satellite Service Channel 826 and broadcasting worldwide at www.ciut.fm.
Welcome to Career Buzz, Canada's unique radio show that empowers lives, enriches careers, and energizes organizations. What's the the connection between making music and making career and life choices? That's one of the many topics we'll cover with today's Career Buzz guest. Hi, I'm Mark Franklin, president and practice leader of Career Cycles, dedicated to enriching careers and lives. And I'm pleased to be your host today on Career Buzz. Thanks for tuning in this morning. Herky Cutler is a motivational group facilitator with over 30 years experience in the human services field, and he's had a varied and colorful career path. After high school, he joined the workforce as his grades wouldn't allow otherwise. After 6 years of retail sales and working in the schmutta business, he then tried commercial real estate, and that changed his life. Not because he excelled, but because he was terrible at it. And the man who had the guts to say so is the man Herky owes a huge debt to, because it paved the way for him to do what he absolutely is passionate about. Herky presents at national and international conferences, most recently at the Connexus Conference in Toronto and the Canadian Counseling Association Conference in Saskatoon, where I had the good fortune to meet him. Herky's an accomplished musician too, so listeners, stay tuned this hour for a unique musical giveaway from Herky. Herky Cutler joins us live by telephone from his office in lovely Twin Butte, Alberta. Welcome to Career Buzz, Herky.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
That's great. Now, what do you like about your career these days, Herky?
The fact that I can take time off and spend some time with you on the radio, Mark.
Isn't that amazing?
Absolutely.
So lots of flexibility in your career these days?
Definitely.
That's nice. And where is Twin Butte, Alberta, for listeners in Ontario who don't know the geography?
Twin Butte, Alberta is about 2.5 hours south of Calgary, just above the Montana border, 25 minutes outside of the most beautiful place in the world, which is Waterton Lakes National Park.
Gorgeous. And are there actually two buttes or twin buttes there?
There's two buttes, one on either side of my house,
yeah.
And the same guy owns them both.
Now, what are you working on these days? What is your career?
Holy cow. I'm working on lots of different things. I'm self-employed, and I have a variety of different contracts. So one of the things I'm working on is with the local school board here, and I am classified as an off-campus teacher. So I'm helping the students who are doing work experience in the community and getting high school credits for it. And so I help place them and I monitor them on the worksite.
Right.
So I'm doing that. I'm also doing a project with the federal government, which is looking at Generation Y employees and baby boomer employers and looking at the disparities that those two groups have with each other. And I'm creating a video to capture that difference in position, if you will. And then I'm going to do some training with employers about how to manage Generation Y employees.
Wow, that sounds really topical. I want to come back to that later in the interview.
Sure.
And what else?
What else? So I'm working on a new website, herkycutler.com, so hopefully that will be ready in a month or so. I've been presenting, as you mentioned, at these different conferences on something I've been working on called Using Music as a Career Development Tool. And that's been very exciting, and I've been doing some stuff in schools with that, as well as one-to-one with folks.
Tell us about that part of your career.
Oh, yeah, I do that, too. Yeah, play music. Been playing for a long time. Started writing songs in the early 90s and performing in the early 90s. And was in a band for a long time here in Pincher Creek, which is the big town near Twin Butte. And played with that band for about 7 or 8 years. And then about three and a half years ago, I decided to go solo. So I do, folk clubs, private events, bars. Anybody that'll pay me, I'll go play.
Yeah. So it's a whole kaleidoscope of things that you're doing as a self-employed person. Here's a question that I like to ask guests on the show to see, you know, the question is about the degree to which this career that you're living is the full expression of who you are and how you want to be in the world. To what degree is this career that for you?
That's a great question. I think for the most part, it really expresses who I am, because it gives me the opportunity to be incredibly flexible, which I like. I'm a therapist by trade, and I can't see myself any longer staying in my office seeing clients 9 to 5 all day long. That's just something that doesn't appeal to me anymore. So the flexibility is great. I get to be incredibly creative because I can come up with an idea and then go out and find some money to help support, fund that idea. I get to play a lot because, I mean, the music thing, not such a hard deal hanging out in the bar and playing music and having people dancing to your music and coming up to you after and saying, that was really cool. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
And I've also, my passion really is working with young people, and this career has enabled me to do that because I hang out with young people all the time, and I've been working in schools for 30 years, so it's been very cool that way.
So let's take a little tour through your career and find out how all of this happened here. If you take us back in time, I mean, first of all, how far back does the interest in music go?
I started getting interested in music when I was about 18. I was living with two fellows at the time in Montreal. Excuse me. And one of them was a cello player and a guitar player.
Yes.
And he would wake us up with his cello every morning. And I just loved the sound of this cello. And he was also a classical guitar player. And he was really the one that turned me on to the guitar.
So that's 18. So that's a little later. Sometimes we've had musicians on the show, and it's so interesting how musicians often have their interest started way back when they were small kids.
Well, I played a little bit of guitar in elementary school, but nothing much. And I took violin in elementary school.
Yeah.
And I took the recorder. And I don't know how many people you know who still play recorder, but I don't know anybody who still plays recorder. So I gave up those instruments. But it was really this guy Marty who really got me interested in actually playing the guitar because it sounded so great, and he was just so good at it.
Now, I said in the intro that something about you leaving high school because your grades wouldn't allow otherwise. What happened there towards the end of high school, and what was your experience leaving that towards the next thing in your early career?
I just hated high school. I hated every minute of high school other than the sport. I played a little hockey and I played a little basketball. And other than that, it was just terrible. And I think that's why I became a teacher, just because I thought I could do a way better job than teachers in my high school.
Yes.
So after high school, of course, I had to go to work because I didn't have the grades to get into post-secondary. And I love that. I've always enjoyed working. I've been working since I was 13 doing part-time things. So I ended up in working in a retail discount store. I did that for 3 years.
Is that out in Alberta?
This was in Montreal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, still in Montreal.
Yeah.
And then I worked in the clothing business for 3 years as well, doing a variety of different things, usually in the shipping industry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
very cool.
Early career stories in the retail world. What happened next?
Well, after that, I got a call from my brother-in-law. My oldest sister had married a Calgarian, so she moved out west. And I actually came out west briefly with my parents because my dad needed to move to a climate that was a little easier on him. He was suffering bad health. So I moved out with them after I had completed high school in Quebec, which, of course, only goes to grade 11.
Right.
When I got to Alberta, they had grade 12, and I had to go to grade 12 in order to get any more schooling. And psychologically, I was done with, the bells every 45 or 50 minutes. And yet here I am in a high school in Alberta doing this thing all over again.
Like in your how old are you at that point?
No, this is right after grade 11. My
okay.
Parents moved. I think it was a year later. So I had to go to grade 12, and after 3 weeks, I just couldn't take it anymore. So I actually quit high school.
Yeah.
And that was about the third time I quit school. And then I decided I was going to go back to Montreal and go to what they call CJEP, which is like junior college.
Right. So that's sort of the equivalent of grades 11 and 12 for Ontario, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So in CJEP, I hated it. And I ended up learning how to shoot pool and play bridge.
Well, those are good skills.
Those are really good skills.
Put them on your resume?
Absolutely. And so I quit CJEP as well. And that's when my brother-in-law from Calgary phoned me and said, why don't you come out and work for me? And he wanted me to lease commercial real estate. So his company was building these small strip shopping centers, and some of them weren't so small, actually. And my job was to go and find people to lease space in these shopping centers.
Right. So how did that go?
It was terrible. But he enticed me by saying, I'll get you a car. I'll buy you some clothes. I know you don't have any suits, so I'll get you a suit, and you can live in my house. And I thought, well, those are pretty good perks for, you know, a young kid still trying to figure out what he wanted to do with his life.
How old are you at this time, Herky?
I think I'm 21 or something like that.
Yeah, so you're just sort of casting about, and like if an opportunity comes and a relative says, hey, why don't you try this, you're sort of open to trying anything at that point?
Totally, and I've been that way, all my life, always looking for opportunity and always being open to it.
Yeah.
It's almost like The Yes Man. Have you seen that movie with Jim Carrey?
No, I haven't seen it. Is that what he does?
Yes to everything.
Yeah. So that's you. You're the Jim Carrey of Alberta there.
I believe so.
Yeah.
So I went out west and I did this job, and I hated it because I was dressed in these three-piece suits, and I was taking these, you know, business executives, bank managers, grocery store owners out for lunch and buying them alcohol and trying to get them to lease space in these shopping centers. Just wasn't me.
So you do that. Now there's some part of it. There was some interaction there that pulled the plug on that career story. What happened?
Yeah, that was the thing that changed my life, actually. And the guy's name was John Logan, and he ran a program where he worked with handicapped folks, mentally and physically handicapped folks, and they ran a number of different businesses. And one of the businesses they ran was a bottle depot, you know, where people brought back their old bottles for deposit.
Yeah.
And so I was talking to this guy, and I was trying to get him to lease some space in a shopping center to open up another bottle depot. And after, you know, about 45 minutes of giving him my spiel, he looks at me and he just laughs and he says, "Herky, you're the worst real estate salesman I've ever met."
Oh, no.
So this was not good for self-esteem. But I took the opportunity to ask him, well, why? And he told me, you know, you just seem like too nice a guy. You don't have that killer instinct. You know, you should have been closing this deal with me, and you're not closing it. We're sitting here sort of talking. And I said, well, geez, you know, what do you think I should be doing instead if you don't think I'm a good real estate salesman? And he said, have you ever thought of working with people?
Yes.
And I looked at him and I said, well, that's what you are. You're a people. I'm trying to work with you, and it doesn't seem to be working out very well. He says, no, I mean helping people. And I said, no, I didn't. And so he told me about this place. It's called William Roper Hull Home in Calgary, and it still exists today. And it was a place that works with emotionally handicapped young people. It's a residential treatment center for them.
Yes.
And at the time, you didn't have to have a degree or a diploma to work with young people, at this place anyway. All you had to have was some kind of an aptitude to work with kids. And they put you, once they gave you an interview and felt that you had that aptitude, they would put you in a training program to see how you did. So I figured, what the heck? Again, here's an opportunity that I'm going to pursue and follow up on. So I went, I applied, I got the interview and got into the training program, and the training program was supposed to be 6 weeks, and each week you go to a different cottage at Hull Home and experience what goes on in that particular cottage.
Yes.
And after 3 weeks, I was into it so much, and they liked me so much that they hired me.
Nice. So that's your transition away from commercial real estate and into the human services field.
Exactly.
We're talking to Herky Cutler here on Career Buzz. He's based in Twin Butte, Alberta, a group facilitator and speaker and worker in the human services field with a specialty in career development. So, Herky, what happened then after, you know, that's a big career change, and it's so strange that the way it happened that you got advised by one of your failed client interactions. And then you're shifting gears. How did it go at that residential treatment center?
It was incredible. It was just an amazing place to work. I absolutely loved it. Learned some unbelievable skills. They had the training program there was something I had never experienced since, and I'm not sure if it's still like that, but it was just such an intense training program that I learned so much about counseling and working with kids and working with people. I mean, we had, you know, shift work. We were working 3 to 11 a lot of the time with 8 or 10 other child care workers, and working with really difficult young people, you know, kids who had committed murder, armed robbery, as well as a whole variety of different things. But some of those young people would live in that place for years, sometimes two. And I learned, you know, pretty much everything I knew about working with young people at that place.
So how long did that last until the next chapter in the story?
That lasted, I was there for three and a half years, I believe, at Hull Home, yeah. And I've worked in different cottages, and I also worked in the school, which kind of turned me on to education a little bit more. That kind of led to me wanting to become a teacher later on.
So, and what happened next?
What happened next was meeting a woman who was going to be moving to British Columbia. And so I thought I'd take the opportunity to go with her. And when I did that, I ended up going to Simon Fraser University.
Yeah.
I thought it was now time to go back to school, and I was an adult, and I didn't need to have the high school marks didn't mean anything anymore. I passed some kind of an entrance examination, and they accepted me to go into Simon Fraser, and I wanted to become a teacher. As I mentioned, I wanted to do a better job than my teachers had done. And at the time, I'm sure the term labor market information is used in Ontario, is it not?
Yeah, that's a common term. I don't, you know, the career people listening would know labor market information. I don't know how frequently the regular, you know, person thinks about that, but for sure it's a term out there.
Okay, cool. So the labor market information at the time suggested that if I was going to become a teacher, the best choice for me would have been an elementary reading teacher, because there were very few male elementary reading specialists.
Yes.
And if I wanted to get a job, that's what I should do. So that's what I did, and I hated it, and I dropped out. Yet another time of dropping out of school.
Yes.
And at the same time, while I started going to school with Simon Fraser, I found a part-time job as a street worker in Richmond, British Columbia, which is a suburb of Vancouver. Well, not really a suburb, it's its own city, but it's close to Vancouver.
Yeah.
And that was perhaps the best job I've ever had in my life. And when I quit university, I was doing this part-time, but when I quit university again that time, I decided to do the street work thing full-time, and I did that for 5 years.
In B.C.?
In Richmond, B.C.
Right. So, and it was similar to some degree, it sounds like, to the residential treatment program.
No, it's totally different.
Totally different. But working with youth, was it?
Working with youth is the same, but I had to go find them. I had to work on the streets with them.
Oh, so you're out there.
I'm out there. It was great. This is where my pool skills came into being, because I ended up shooting a lot of pool with kids, playing a lot of pinball games, and hanging out till 2 o'clock in the morning dealing with kids.
Wow! So that's so interesting that the pool skill that you thought, you know, who knew what that was all about earlier, it turns around to be really useful.
It was. The bridge didn't work so well.
Yeah, yeah.
But playing pool worked great.
Well, one out of two is pretty good.
Sure.
Okay, so and then what happened?
Then after 5 years of that, then I decided to go back to school again. I was getting a little tired of actually working on my weekends and late nights and things like that. So I thought, well, I still want to work with young people and I still want to be a teacher, but I do not want to be an elementary teacher at all. So I wanted to be a high school teacher because I wanted to work with teens. So I decided to become a high school social studies specialist.
Yeah.
Which the labor market information said, that's the stupidest move you could do because there's thousands of them and you'll never get a job.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, I don't care. That's what turns me on, and that's what I want to do. So that's what I did. I became a high school, I got my degree, my teaching degree, and my minor was in environmental education. And then I started looking for a teaching job. So the first teaching job I got was in a little town in British Columbia called Nakusp, British Columbia, on the Arrow Lakes, beautiful little community of about 1,500 people, and they hired me over the phone.
Yeah.
And the job that I got there was not a high school social studies teacher, but it was a job running their alternative program with at-risk youth, working in a little portable outside the main school.
Yeah, but you got the job. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Despite the labor market information, I mean, there's a lesson in there, right? When you followed the labor market information, it didn't turn out well. But when you followed your own desires and passions, you know, it doesn't exactly work out the way you think it will, but it works.
For me, it's the passion is always number one. I think you have to use labor market information wisely and take it with a grain of salt.
But exactly.
Really it's the passion that makes it for me.
Yeah. So what happened there in that little community in B.C.?
Well, that was a great job. I mean, I had 10 to 12 kids in this program. I called it the backdoor program because it was a way for those students to get their diploma through the back door because they weren't going to get it through the front door.
Yes.
They couldn't handle the regular school system for whatever reason. And these kids were ostracized, stereotyped, put down, you know, thought of as stupid by the regular mainstream population. And in 3 years, we changed all that.
Right, so it was an effective program.
It was a very effective program.
Yeah.
It was great. I loved it.
So, and what happened there? Did you stay teaching for a while, or did you move on?
I stayed there for 3 years, and then I moved on to do my master's degree. So I moved back to Calgary, and because I was able to stay at my mother's house, it was cheap.
Yeah.
I never thought I would go back to my mother's house at that age. Can't remember how old I was, but it was much later in life. So there I am, and I'm doing my master's degree, and I come across this school in Calgary called the Alternative High School. And, of course, I just came from an alternative program in British Columbia. And back when I was doing street work, I was also involved in a lot of alternative schools and programs, working with kids, getting kids back into school through those kinds of programs. So I was very familiar and comfortable with these programs. And when I saw the name of the school, I had to go check it out.
Oh, so it's like a clue, right? You get there and it's a clue. What was the master's in? What did you go back to school for?
Human Resources Administration. I went to go back to school to learn how to be a high school principal.
Oh, so that was the career idea at the time.
That was the idea, that's right.
Yeah, okay.
So the alternative high school, I went there one day to visit, and I walk into the office, and one of the students looks at me, and I swear this is the truth. Says to me, "So who the hell are you?"
The student.
The student.
Yeah, yeah.
And I tell her, "Well, my name's Herky," and I said, "Well, who the hell are you?" And she said, "My name is Sarah. Do you want a tour?" I said, "Absolutely." I haven't said anything to the office.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't checked in or anything like that. This stranger just walks into the school, and this is what happened. So Sarah gives me a tour of the alternative high school. Incredible place. Murals all over the place. Kids sitting on the floor playing guitar. Small school, 120 students, and I said, this is a really neat place. And so later on, I met the principal and started to talk to him and told him I was, you know, back at university taking my master's degree and kind of looking for volunteer opportunities or whatever. And he said, "Well, do you know anything about basketball?" And I said, "Well, yeah, I do. And I played a lot of basketball and I did some coaching." And he said, "Do you want to coach our basketball team?" And I said, "Sure." So I ended up coaching their basketball team. And shortly after that, their guidance counselor, who was there part-time, was leaving.
Yes.
And I had the credentials to be their guidance counselor. So they said, "Do you want to be our part-time guidance counselor?" And I said, "Of course." So I ended up working with the alternative high school on and off, part-time, full-time,
yes,
for 5 years.
And did you continue with that master's degree?
I continued with the master's degree, and in fact, my thesis was on the acquisition and utilization of power for prospective school administrators.
Wow.
And I used the principle of the alternative high school as the subject.
Yes.
And the reason for that was because the alternative high school is a democratic school. It still exists today. It's close to 40 years old. And the way it runs is anything that isn't school board policy is open to negotiation, debate, and a democratic vote. There's 120 students in the school, and there's 12 staff.
Yes.
So theoretically, every issue can be won by the students. And every Friday, they have a town meeting, and students are taught how to run this town meeting through their social studies class. And they conduct these meetings, and issues are put on the agenda, and debated, and then voted on.
That's great. When we do our call-in, Herky, in the second half hour of the show, I wonder if listeners want to comment on that and how similar or different that experience is from their own high school experience.
Okay. I'll look forward to that.
That's amazing. Can you give us an example of something that the students voted on that might be a little unusual?
Well, a couple things that the students did that were very unusual. One is, one of the teachers had a dog, and actually this went beyond the school level. This went to the school board level. And these kids love the dog, and of course dogs are not allowed in the schools because they're unhealthy. And the kids didn't buy this, and they were very disgusted by the fact that some bureaucrat was going to tell them that they couldn't have a dog in their school. They took it to the school board, and over a two-year period, fought with them. And actually, there's now a bylaw written in the Calgary Board of Education for the alternative high school that they can have a pet.
And that came from them.
That came from them.
Nice one.
Great.
We're talking to Herky Cutler here on Career Buzz on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm your host, Mark Franklin. Herky, we're just about at the bottom of the hour here, so I want to take a little musical break and then go to a couple of commercials. Now, you are a musician, as we found out at the beginning of the show, and I know you have a few songs on a site. And I have lined up one of your songs, City Fix. Can you just give us a little background? What is it about City Fix that listeners should know about?
Well, City Fix is a song because I was born in Montreal and I've lived in Calgary and Vancouver, so lived in the big cities. And now I live in this little tiny hamlet, of Twin Butte, and I've been here for 15 years. And I don't think I could ever move back to a big city, but I do need to get to a city occasionally to get that fix.
Right.
And this song was written actually in Vancouver. I was at a conference, and I was walking around, and I'm going, this is cool. You just feel that buzz of the city, and that's when I wrote the song.
Right on. Here's Herky Cutler with City Fix.
This old world is on the move. Everybody's got something to prove. Gotta get ahead, gotta be the best. Gotta keep on trucking, do more with less. It's alright to be wrong. It's okay not to be strong. Remember what they said, how they tried to fill your head, saying our lives will be more free if we embrace technology. It's alright to be wrong. It's okay not to be strong. Layoffs, downsize, company change, stretch, sleep, cutthroat, rearrange. Tech toys, in debt, suicide, retrain, reframe, swallow your pride. It's alright to be wrong. It's okay not to be strong. It's alright. It's alright. It's alright. Okay, not to be strong. It's alright.
are a promising alternative form of urban transportation, with all the advantages of a regular bicycle. Fun, exercise, free parking, zero emissions, and freedom from gridlock. E-bikes eliminate one of the bicycle's more serious drawbacks, lack of power. Imagine pedaling up a hill as comfortably as riding down. That's what the e-bike experience is all about. In most situations in the city, riding an e-bike is faster and cheaper than either car or public transit. Check out www.mobilityunlimited.ca to find out more about these inexpensive, clean, green machines. Or call 416-778-9586 or toll free 1-877-778-9586.
The 7th Annual Savannah Festival of Rhythms takes place Sunday, July 19th at the Garden Square of the Rose Theater in Brampton. This year's theme is in support of sickle cell awareness and features special guests Archie Alain and Collage, Virgil Scott, and headliner Jackie Richardson, all for free. The Savannah Festival, 2 p.m. to 8 p.m., Sunday, July 19th at Garden Square in Brampton. For more info, call 416-461-5255.
Have you ever considered advertising on your favorite CIUT program but weren't sure if you had the budget? Did you know that we give the biggest bang for your buck with our 15,000-watt commercial-strength signal? Did you know that when you advertise with CIUT 89.5 FM, you're reaching a potential of 8 million listeners? If you want to find out more about sponsoring your favorite program or advertising in general on CIUT, all you need to do is email our helpful sales staff at CIUTsales@gmail.com and ask for our incredible rates. That's CIUTsales@gmail.com.
CIUT can now be heard on channel 946 through Rogers Digital Cable.
Like what you're hearing and want more of it? Check out our schedule at CIUT.fm. We have over 80 unique programs we're sure you'll love. We're listener supported. CIUT 89.5 FM.
Welcome back to Career Buzz. I'm your host, Mark Franklin. Before moving on to continue our interview with Herky, I wanted to let listeners know that Career Cycles is hosting the Who You Are Matters Career and Life Clarification Game. If you want to make a career choice that's aligned with what really matters, come out for a fun and substantive experience. Next date is Wednesday, July 22nd. July 22nd at 6:30 p.m. at Luke Sculpture. More info is at careercycles.com. We're talking to Herky Cutler here from Twin Butte, Alberta, and we've been walking through his career story. We also have an amazing giveaway that we're going to set up right now, and then listeners can call in and during the second half hour here. Herky, what is that giveaway that we're going to do?
Well, I will be willing to write a song for someone, for the lucky winner. So that song can be for whatever that person wants. Could be maybe somebody in their world is having a birthday, or maybe there's a wedding going on or a special occasion or something like that. And I will write that song for them. I'll have to have a conversation with them to find out some information about whoever they might want me to write the song about or the occasion they want me to write it for. And I'll write the song, and then if they want to fly me out, I'll perform it for them live. And if that can't happen, then I'll be happy to record it on a CD and send it to them.
Awesome. Thanks so much for offering that very unique giveaway. We've had a lot of giveaways on Career Buzz, but we've never had anything quite like that.
Cool. You're welcome.
Get your own song written. So we're going to introduce that and open the lines in just a couple of minutes. Herky, I just wanted us to you know, walk through the rest of your career story and get to the point where you are now.
Okay.
And so just before we broke for music, we were talking about the point where you were working as a guidance counselor in a school in Calgary and finishing up a master's degree. What happened from then to now?
So after I finished the master's degree, near the end of that, I was at yet another conference and met some folks from a high school outside of the city of Calgary in Okotoks, a town called Okotoks. And these folks and I had just hit it off. It was a great connection. And they said, so are you looking for work when you've done your degree, which was, you know, very close at that time? And I said, absolutely. And they said, well, we're looking for a guidance counselor next September in our school. Why don't you apply? And I said, sure. So again, another opportunity presents itself. And it meant, you know, I would have had to move to Okotoks, which is fine. So I applied for the job. And in the interview, I was trying to make sure that these folks knew where I was coming from, you know, these 5 years at an alternative school that was democratic, not just amongst the kids and stuff, but with the staff. And, you know, you wouldn't know which who the principal was at that school. He just seemed like one of the other staff. He was just that way inclined. That's why the school worked so well. So I had to make sure that these folks knew that, because it was going to be hard for me to work in a kind of a bureaucratic milieu after coming from that experience.
Yes.
So they assured me that it wasn't going to be an issue. So I took the job. I was offered the job, and I took it. And so I moved to Okotoks and started that job. And I'm sad to say that within 3 weeks, I realized that what had transpired in the interview was not transpiring in real life. And there was a bureaucracy there, and there were some things going on that I didn't like. And I'm not the one to keep things inside of myself, so I would always bring these things up and try to do it in a tactful way. And it didn't work there. I just had a real hard time with the head of the guidance department of that school. And for the whole year, we had this thing going on that didn't work very well. So at the end of the year, this was a temporary contract. So at the end of the year, the principal said, you know, we're not going to renew your contract. And that was perhaps the best thing that ever happened to me, other than that John Logan story.
Yes, yes.
Because that... that encouraged me to, I liked Okotoks, I liked the town, I liked the people, I was involved in Rotary Club and all sorts of things, and I decided to open up my own private counseling practice.
Yeah.
And so that practice still exists today, so that was 17 years ago.
Wow, that's great. So that led to one of the things that you did, personal counseling work.
Exactly.
And the career piece, because I know you do work in the world of career development, you know, and how did that come about as part of this story?
So when I did that in Okotoks for 3 years, and then an opportunity came down here to buy a little house that I now still live in, and so we came down here to look around. I'd never been down here before, and it's absolutely beautiful, and so we decided to buy the house, but neither of us had work here. So I was a teacher, so I was able to apply to the school board, become a substitute teacher, and then I talked to some folks around doing some contracts, doing some counseling. And then shortly after, so I ended up moving down here and opening up my practice here, and shortly after that, I was approached, because I've been working with kids, working in the school system here, doing some contracts with youth, I was approached by the provincial government to write a proposal for what was called a Youth Connections contract. And a Youth Connections was a new program that the government was doing, kind of putting out one-stop shopping places for young people to get career information, career counseling,
yes,
career resources. And I said, well, I didn't want to do that. And they said, well, why don't you want to do that? And I said, well, I don't believe in one-stop shopping to the degree that it only works for the people who come in. It doesn't work for the people who don't come in.
Yes.
So what I would prefer to do was I wanted to do both. I wanted to work with the kids who are out of school who might come to a place like that, but I also wanted to work with the kids in school so that I can bring them the information. And they said, well, you know, what do you have in mind? Can you write a proposal? So I did. I wrote a proposal, came up with a bunch of different ideas and programs that we could do within school and with kids out of school. And they liked it, so they gave me a 1-year demonstration grant, it was called.
Yeah.
Just so we can try it, see if this stuff worked. So we tried it, and it worked. And then I had that contract for 9 years.
Wow. And so that's what brought you into the whole world of career development.
That's what brought me into it, yeah.
Amazing. Now, I want to, you know, I want to start talking a little bit more about your connection between music and career development, but I also want to give out the phone number. So that if listeners want to call in and join us on the air with either a comment or a question, they can do so, and we'll sort of collect names and phone numbers, and at the end of the show, for however many people who have called in, we'll do a little draw. And we'll announce whoever wins at the end of the show if there's more than one. And hopefully there will be. The phone number is 416-946-7000. 416-946-7000. And if you want to call in and join us live on the air here on Career Buzz with Herky with a question or comment about your high school experience or what you've heard from Herky or what we're going to talk about now, which is the connection between music and career, please give us a call at 946-7000, area code 416. I'm actually thinking, I just see Adam picked up the phone this instant. He'll signal to me. Herky, what is the connection between music and career, making music and making career decisions?
So the connection was, here I am loving music and loving career development, loving young people, having all these wonderful things in my life, and trying to figure out ways to combine them. So I thought, as a guidance counselor in a high school, which I was at this 1 year, well, I was guidance counselor at the alternative school, but mainly at this regular school, if you will, we used to use these, and schools still do in Alberta, use these career interest inventories, these computer-generated career interest inventories.
Right.
And I used to watch the kids when they did these things. I mean, they'd answer all the questions, and then what really concerned them was what the computer spit out at the end of that process.
Right, like, you should be a potato farmer,
exactly,
or a military officer.
Exactly,
yeah, yeah.
Exactly. So this list of occupations, so these kids would get them, and I'd watch them cross off a bunch of these occupations right off the bat, and I'd walk over to them and ask them, why are you doing that? Why are you crossing that off? And they said, well, I don't know what it is. And I said, well, what if I told you it paid like $1 million a year? Would you want to find out? And they went, well, yeah, I would. You know, so they had that mentality, right? If I don't know what it is, I'm going to cross it off. And then they would cross off a bunch of others that, you know, maybe their Aunt Matilda or something was one of these, and they hated Aunt Matilda, or maybe it was a character in a TV show that was one of these, and they hated the characters. They cross off those as well. And it seemed to me that they were left with this, you know, small 5, 6, 7 amount, 7 occupations that they probably thought of anyway, or maybe somebody in their family or close to them had said, you know, you might make a good, whatever it was, veterinarian or something like that. And I found the process to be really narrow, and I found that the kids weren't engaged in the process. They were only engaged in really what the outcome was.
Yes.
If I would have asked them after the fact, so tell me what your skills, interests, values are, you know, based on how you answered the questions, it would be very difficult for them to give me that answer.
Yeah.
So I thought, this doesn't work. So I came up with a way to use music to get to that piece of it.
All right, hold that thought right there.
All right.
Because we're just at a certain point, and we do have a caller on the phone here. So let's get a caller on the phone and see what the comment or question is. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, what's your name?
My name is Rose.
Hi, Rose. What comment or question do you have for us?
Well, I wanted to find out what we as parents can do to encourage more engagement in terms of career focus. And I know because I myself fell through the cracks through the transitionary period, and I didn't get the proper counseling that I thought I should have had. And I don't have a child in that age group now, but I know other people that do, and I often try to encourage them to look at other options. So what can I do to assist?
Great question, Rose. That's like that's the million-dollar question. What can we do to help kids kind of engage in the whole career exploration, career development question, right?
Yeah.
Herky, you have a comment on that?
Rose, that is a great, great question. I love that question. I did a lot of parent workshops in the Youth Connections project that I ran, and the first question I would ask the parents in the room was, how many of you are doing today what you thought you were going to be doing when you were 15? How many parents do you think put up their hand, Rose?
No idea.
Usually none, maybe
very
one.
Very few, probably.
Very few.
Uh-huh.
And so, that kind of, I think, just was a visual experience for them to realize that sometimes parents push their kids without realizing it. I mean, parents' intentions, I think, are always honorable, and they love their kids, and they want their kids to have better. better lives than them. I think that's the way things go. But sometimes they don't realize that when they push their kids into directions that their kids don't want to go, that that can create some real difficulty later on. And I know that in this day and age, for example, when post-secondary education is so expensive, a lot of parents are paying for their kids to go to post-secondary school. And sometimes that money is used, not necessarily with the intent, but it keeps those kids on a track that sometimes they don't want to be in. Kids feel bad about saying, "Mom, I hate this program, I don't want to do this, but I know you're paying thousands and thousands of dollars to send me there." So if I could make any suggestion other than coming to one of my workshops, it would be to not force kids to take programs that they're not ready to take. If a kid wants to be a truck driver and you want your kid to be a doctor, and you're gonna encourage, force, manipulate, do whatever you can for your kid to be that doctor and not the truck driver, where the kid is going to be really happy, then that's going to create an issue down the road.
It's quite possible that being a truck driver might be important to the student at that time, and it might be part of a learning curve that he has to go through or she has to go through.
Exactly. Exactly.
And then maybe after that, they might be open to being a doctor.
Exactly. Exactly. So what I would encourage parents to do is to be their kid's ally, not to live vicariously through their kid.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
That's so great advice.
Do you have an email address that you could provide?
I do. Should I do that now, Mark?
Yeah, Herky, why don't you shoot with that, and then if listeners want to get in touch with you, they can shoot you an email.
Okay. It's F as in Frank, Y as in youth, F as in Frank, S as in Sam. So F-Y-F-F.
F-Y-S or F?
F-Y-F-F.
F-F as in Frank?
Yeah, so Frank, okay. Youth, Frank, Sam.
Oh, I see F. Okay, F.
F-Y-F-F. At TELUS Planet, TELUS Planet.net.
Planet?
Yeah.
.net.
Yeah.
Sorry, I have a call from a cell phone.
Thanks for joining us, Rose, on the air here. And I'll give out the email address later again.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thanks, Rose.
Amazing question, Herky.
Like, great question.
So many parents, and you see this, you know, it's so often you see it in a movie or a TV show where you watch the well-meaning parent giving terrible advice to their kid to do this, that, or the other, and you can see the kid squirming and not wanting to do it. And I mean, it's good drama for television, but I think just as you were saying, the thing to do is, you know, if you force your kid to go in one direction, that there's nothing like that to make the kid not want to go in that direction.
Exactly.
So
or if they do go, it doesn't work out in the long run.
Yeah, it backfires, you know.
Yeah.
So really being your kid's ally, I like the way you put that, and helping them to identify what their skills or strengths are or what they like to do, and giving them the sort of, encouragement to explore that,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, perfect.
Great. Do we have another caller on the phone? We have one other caller on the phone right now. I think Adam is just putting them through. Hi, caller, are you there?
Hi, good afternoon.
Hi, what's your name?
My name's Darlene.
Hi, Darlene. Welcome to Career Buzz. What's your comment or question for us?
I'm asking more about, mature people. I'm going on 40, and I've been home with my kids and come out of a bad relationship, and I'm anxious to be around anyone. Like, I think I sabotage myself. What kind of advice does your guest have for people? Because he's worked with the at-risk youth. Perhaps he's got some advice for, messed up adults.
we're all messed up, Darlene. You know, nobody has it all figured out, even though they look like it. Herky, any advice for supposedly messed up adults?
Oh, Darlene, that's great. I agree with Mark. I think we're all messed up to whatever degree we are. And I work with a lot of older people as well, not just young people. And I guess my advice to you in this short period of time would be to get out and network with people. I think networking is the greatest thing that we can do, especially if you haven't been in the workforce for a while. So I'm sure there are places where you live, for example, where you can even get some free career counseling through provincial government or something like that. They often have workshops, on how to write resumes, things of that nature. So now you're starting to meet other people who are, you know, in your age group and are also looking for work like you are. And that's just a way to start meeting people and networking. And I think that's the best way to start.
Great, great advice, Herky. Thanks. Thanks
all
for
right.
that.
And here's a question, too. I don't know if this applies. Does perhaps something like cognitive behavior therapy or something like that, have you ever had clients do that to try
Absolutely.
And get over anxiety?
Yeah, for sure. Therapy is, I'm a therapist, so I recommend therapy. I think we all need it. cognitive behavioral therapy is one kind of therapy that can help. And again, there's lots of, you know, if you don't have money to pay for a therapist, there's lots of free ones around through mental health services and things like that.
All right.
Thanks for calling, Darlene. Make sure Adam has your phone number there so we can put you in the draw for the winning song that Herky is going to write for one of our listeners today.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Darlene.
Thanks, Darlene.
Bye-bye.
So interesting, Herky. Well, one of our guests last time I did the show, Mark Belaish, who actually runs TorontoJobs.ca, and he said when he was 40, just at Darlene's age, what she was talking about, when he was 40 and he had done a whole pile of things in his career to that point, and he said, you know, I just sat down and I wrote a list of everything that I wanted in my career and life. And he had never done that before until he was 40. And he said that list was a real catalyst in his life. And writing everything that he wanted focused his mind, kind of like what cognitive therapy does that Darlene was mentioning. It's, you know, focusing your mind on what you want. And, you know, one thing led to another. When he had this list of 20 or 30 things, and it led to him buying this website called TorontoJobs.ca. He's now the president of it, and he runs this company, and he's loving his life and his career. So it's amazing when you step back from your own situation, you consider what you've learned about things from each chapter of your life, and you put that list together. And how few of us have ever done that?
Great idea.
Interesting,
Love
right?
that, yeah.
So that was Mark Belaish. Thanks, Mark, if you're listening for that great idea from last time. Hang on, I think we have... No, we don't have another caller right now. Herky, you were just in the middle of telling us before the last two calls the link between music and career development. And you had just taken us to the point where you were saying, you know, these kind of crazy interest inventories that I think both you and I agree are not necessarily the best tools to help people make choices. But you realized people weren't really engaged in that, and so you had an alternate idea. What is that?
Right. So I had a young person working for me, and I asked him to be my guinea pig. And I asked him to bring me in a song that moved him emotionally. And that's the key. And not just the song that he liked the beat or he liked the band that performed the song, but it had to move him in some way. And so he brought me in a song, actually it was a song by Neil Young called Needle of the Damage Done.
Yes.
And our counseling session was based on listening to the song, and we had a copy of the lyrics, and then I asked him a series of questions about why he chose the song and what was it about the melody of the song that appealed to him and what did the lyrics mean to him. And I realized, because I was thinking, as I was listening to the answers, I was thinking of it from a career development perspective, that he was telling me what his interests were, what his values were, and what he was passionate about.
Yes.
From this song. And I went, this is cool. And he is really engaged. We are really engaged because we're talking about his music. I mean, what's more personal than someone's music that they love? And so I thought, I'm on to something here. So that was the catalyst to start working with him and other people around using music as this tool to not only engage clients, but also to get them at that self-discovery stage for career development, where to figure out who the heck they were, which is really one of the most important things that we have to do in order to look at what kind of careers that we could do.
That's awesome. We have one more caller. We just have a couple of minutes left in the show, so
okay.
We've got time for one more caller to come on with a quick comment or question. Caller, are you there? Hi, you're on the air at Career Buzz. What's your name?
Risa.
Hi, Risa. What's your comment or question for Herky or me?
Well, I just wondered how someone could be so creative and have enough time and actually find work in such a small place like Twin Butte when so many people are having trouble and struggling finding work in a big city.
That's a great question, Risa. And one of the things is the support from their partner is really important.
Really?
Reese is my partner, by the way.
amazing.
So that's really important. And I think the other thing that's really important is that thing that we've been talking about during the show is taking advantage of opportunities, being open to these opportunities.